one, two, intro, two, three, four. Intro.
Good evening, everyone. Before we get started, I just want to make an announcement. We were going to have a reading to the kids tonight, but Laurel had a child get sick, so we didn't want to spread that around. So we're not doing that tonight. I do apologize. But we do have a night full of worship and praise. So if you will, bow your heads in prayer with me. Dear God, we come to you tonight with hearts full of warmth and joy. During this dark and cold time of year, you bring the fire and light back into our world. During this time of gift giving, you give us the greatest gift of all. During this time of death and hibernation, you bring life and energy. You take the world as it is and remake it into something continuously beautiful. For that and so many other reasons, we lift your name in praise. In your name, amen. Now, this time of year is steeped in all kinds of traditions. There are more recent add-ons, like watching Elf on repeat, or Black Friday Madness, which I can now do from my living room thanks to Amazon. But there's also traditions that stretch back through time. Poinsettias date back to about 400 years ago or so. And we've been singing Christmas carols forever. We started doing the Nativity in the 4th century. It started off as a play, kind of like a Christmas pageant, but we added the statues in the 10th century, and we still do those to this day. We have a few of them around the church. There's one outside, there's one down in the youth room, I think there's one down in the fellowship hall. But these act as kind of a shorthand account of the birth of Christ. You always have the little baby Jesus, but then you can add in Mary, Joseph, shepherds, angels, wise men, animals, and more. Like, there's all kinds of stuff you can put in there. And all of that together paints a picture of a very quiet and reverent night where all these people in attendance were able to feel the weight that this little baby already carries on its shoulders.
One, two, vamp, two, three, four. Intro.
Receive the King.
Christmas songs have been a tradition for literal millennia. Good King Wenceslas, it's hard to say, but it's one of the oldest English songs we still sing. It was probably written in around the 13th century. There aren't many songs in English past that because Christmas carols predate the English language. But even the song we just sang was a newer version of Joy to the World, which was written in 1719, and it had a refrain by Beethoven written in the 1820s. We like to reuse songs from the past, especially for Christmas, because the staying power reflects the fact that the story remains the same. We find new ways to tell that story and new ways to sing the songs, but the message doesn't change.
One, two. One, two, three, four. Repeat intro. Full band. Verse.
Outro. Christmas trees, wreaths, garlands, Christmas lights, and so much more, we like to decorate for Christmas. Some families start Thanksgiving night, some wait until Christmas Eve, some start in July, and some still have it up from last year. Every family has their own way of doing decorations every Christmas, but there are some old and widespread traditions as well. We put angels or stars on top of our trees, symbolizing the angels who talked to the shepherds and the star that guided the wise men. We bring fir trees and holly into our houses to represent the everlasting life that is brought to us through Jesus. All the flowers and candy canes and ornaments all have the meaning behind them to mark just how important the events of that night were and continue to be.
One, two, one, two, three, four.
Verse of that song describes the discovery of the guiding star by the wise men. The three kings that traveled to visit baby Jesus by following that star brought him gifts fit for a king. Tradition highlights this part of the story in art and songs, as well as in decorations, for an important reason. These figures come to worship Jesus and pay tribute, elevated the birth, to not only be a glorious spiritual event, but also a huge political event. This was not just the birth of a son from a virgin, but a son of God, heralded by kings and anointed king.
One, two, one, two, three, four. Verse one.
Oh, come, all you unfaithful, come. We can unstable come. No, you are not alone.
Verse two.
Oh, come, barren and waiting ones, weary of praying, come. See what your God has done.
Chorus.
Christ is born. Christ is born. Christ is born for you.
Verse three.
Oh, come, bitter and broken, come with fears unspoken, come taste of his perfect love.
Verse four.
Oh, come, guilty and hiding ones, there is no need to run. See what your God has. Your God has done. Christ is born. Christ is born. Christ is born for you. Christ is
I say I'm not an art person, but this is also the second time that I've used a piece of art I have hanging in my apartment as an example for what I'm saying on stage. Take that information as you will. For those of you, a lot of you are probably familiar with this piece of art, but for those of you who are not, this was painted by the famous painter Michelangelo, and it's called The Creation of Adam. More accurately, it's a zoomed-in version of the creation of Adam. It's zoomed in on the hand specifically. I have this hanging in my apartment, this specific part hanging in my apartment, mostly because I don't want a picture of a naked guy in my apartment, but anyway, this painting speaks to me. Because look at the contrast of God's powerful hand on the right and Adam's hand on the left. God is doing everything in his power to get to his creation. He is stretching his arm out. His hand is trying to get to Adam. And in the full painting, he's putting his full body into it. He's leaning in, trying to get to Adam. And what's Adam doing in return? Yeah, God, you're cool, but yeah, I'm not going to put much effort into it. Painting speaks to me because it reminds me, no matter how unworthy I feel, no matter how sinful and flawed I am, God is still doing his best to get to me. He's doing his best to get to us. Why? Why is he doing his best to get to us as broken and flawed as we are? That is shown in the birth of Jesus. That fulfilled the prophecy in Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 11, starting at verse 1. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat. And the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw with the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weakened child shall put his hand on the adder's den. And they shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. This prophecy has been fulfilled in the person of Jesus, who loved us so much, who was doing so much to get to us that he was willing to live among us. Love led him to the cross, where he took the sins of the world upon himself, where he fulfilled another prophecy of Isaiah. He was pierced for our transgression, our crushed for our iniquities. Christ did this for us. For love. As you receive communion this morning, this evening, remember this. Christ loves you. And the person of Jesus is all the evidence you'll ever need for that. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for doing something for us that we never could have done for ourselves. Saving us from our sin. For fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah for us. That through your death, that we are no longer slaves to sin. We thank you for demonstrating your love for us in the
the baby Jesus, who lived among us to save us for love. And we love you, God. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
One, two, one, two, three, four. Verse.
Nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, by being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even to death on a cross.
Get it right every time. But the truth is, I was sitting around thinking about the Christmas story, and my entire message for tonight changed. And it's funny how that happens. And I was thinking about the way that Jesus came and the way he came for us. And I began to think about the shepherds and how we're most like the shepherds. Jesus came, we see in Luke chapter 2 at verse 6, it says, "And the shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night, the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." You know, Jesus came to earth, and that's why we celebrate Christmas, is our Savior came to earth. And Jesus still comes to us where we are. The shepherds were in the field, still working their life, their day-to-day life, and suddenly a star appears, and it's Jesus. That's what the message is about. And Christmas is that message. The message that Jesus came right where you are. And for some of us, when Jesus came to our life, we were in places that we were not very proud of. We were broken. And we're still broken. But we were broken more than we were now. Maybe this is the first time you've been to church in a long time. And you came because there's something in there calling you, and that is Jesus calling you. Much like Noah's example, he puts all the effort in. And it seems like we just kind of go about life, hoping we might bump into him. And Jesus came to where they were, and he comes to where we were. But then we go down, and we see that it says that there's going to be a sign to you, and you will find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. And then this host of angels came, and they sang, and the angels sang. And then in verse 16 it says, "So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger." What you didn't see was they said, "I got to straighten my life out before I come to Jesus." You didn't see them say, "Well, they won't let me in the doors because of the way I live my life." They went just like they were. And if you know anything about shepherds, they were probably dirty and stinky. And I dare say that most of our lives are pretty dirty and stinky sometimes. Yet Jesus says, "Come. Come and see me just like you are. I've already been where you are. And you felt me calling to you. Now you come just like you are." And the amazing thing that happens is they show up. And they're so in awe that it says the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they'd been told. You see what happens when you come in contact with Jesus? When you've felt him call to you and you've gone to him and you've accepted his gift of salvation, you leave changed and excited and full of hope. And you can't help but talk about it. And that's what Christmas is really about. It's about remembering why Jesus came. Jesus came so that we would answer that call and go to him. What an amazing gift that is, isn't it? I can't imagine what a dark, dark place this world would be if Jesus had never came. You know, and tonight when we've got the lights turned down and it's dark in here, we realize that when Jesus came into this world, it was dark. And because Jesus came, there is now light in that darkness. And that's what these candles are going to represent. And if you're really technologically challenged, you just twist them to turn them on. But we're going to sing the song Silent Night. You all are going to stand, and we're going to sing. And after this song, we will be dismissed. And we're going to go, and we're going to celebrate Christmas in our many traditions. But let us never forget that Christmas is about the light that came into the darkness. Amen. It's about the love that is shown. And the love that cost Jesus everything. So we're going to stand and we're going to sing. I'm going to pray a prayer. And then we will all stand and we will sing and we'll light our candles. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We are so thankful for your love, your grace, your mercy. And we know that the true love, grace, and mercy that we celebrate came over 2,000 years ago in the form of a baby boy named Jesus. And may we never forget it is his love that holds us all together in this terrible dark world. That we may know there's hope and there's joy waiting us in paradise. Lord, may you give us the strength to stand up and hold up our light, not just tonight, but for the rest of our lives, so that people will know that we love Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
One, two, three. Intro, two, three. Intro. Vamp. Verse one.
Holy night, shepherd.
thank you all for coming out tonight. You are dismissed. Have a Merry Christmas.